Ladies and gentlemen, you know, y'all know what time it is. Welcome back to another edition of the 3Y Pod with EG3. That's right, the 3Y Podcast with EG3. All things NASCAR, along with some miscellaneous items as well. Recording this on March 22nd, 2023. Ahead of K-State getting into the Sweet 16, playing our game tomorrow at late afternoon, folks. Again, it's the 3Y NASCAR Podcast, all things related to NASCAR. And this episode, I'm trying something a little bit different here on this episode today. So I'm recording this on Wednesday. So yeah, pretty much back to regular scheduling. Man, it's been, again, I apologize again for not having this out on Monday like originally planned. So this Thursday was the number one original plan when this podcast started. And then I wanted to change some things up, but since then, I mean, crazy. So, figure, you know, why not just continue to leave it there? That's been our main spot for this podcast, so I apologize. I've been looking for this podcast, but yeah, so all three, let's get on right into it. Again, I'm going to try something a little bit different, so a little bit different podcast, all about EG3, his racing, and some other topics I want to talk about here real quick. Position. All right, I want to get into this right now. I was booked up watching basketball all weekend, and the ridiculous action what took place in Atlanta Motor Speedway. All three divisions raced down there in the Peach State last weekend, and of course, coming up another tripleheader weekend down south of Manhattan, Kansas. That's right, that's Fort Worth, Texas. That's where Circuit of Americas is at for all three divisions this weekend. That's now I'm blanking on it. Yeah, that's a road course. Yeah, I don't know why I had a brain fart there for a minute or two there. Yeah, it's been a long, busy day from the work, traveling around for work, and now trying to knock out this podcast because I don't want to record it tomorrow while K-State's in the Final Four. Again, more on that a little later on in this podcast. But yes, back to Atlanta real quick. I probably only saw what? I did go back and watch the revised quick version of the Cup race from Atlanta from last weekend. Joey Logano, they're getting by bracket. We'll start there first. Joey Logano getting his first victory of the season, passing Brad Keselowski. Not only doing that, but denying Keselowski of getting his first win since being a NASCAR team owner. So Keselowski being denied. There's no question about the dramatic improvement from Keselowski. From his whole entire race team. From really the chase of last year, of chase, meaning the playoffs, NASCAR playoffs, was the chase for the Nextel Cup or whatever it was. it changed, this format changed so many times. But Brad Keselowski, it's there this year. He's up front in the top 10, where that's Phoenix. This past weekend was in contention was in the top 10 all day long. In contention from Phoenix all day long till he had an issue late. You know he's going to be at Daytona Talladega, and obviously Atlanta being what it is now, super speedway track what it is, but the speed's there, no question about it. And I said this from the get-go, I stand by record on this Pirate Podcast, Brad Keselowski going to get back to victory lane. I'm telling you, go back, if you have not already, if you're new to the podcast, first off, welcome on board to the 3Y NASCAR Podcast with EG3, go back to our recent episodes of Season 8. Find it. Check it out. I can't remember exactly what episode that was, but I've made this claim at least three times, maybe more than that. So go check those out wherever you listen to podcasts. We're on Spotify, Apple, and other platforms as well, including iHeartRadio. So make sure you subscribe to the 3Y Podcast with EG3 for more on that. But yeah, Brad Keselowski, he's there. He's right there. And I was close to being right. And not only that, I said Keselowski, Truex, and Blaney will all get back to Brickland Lane this year. So, looks like really all for all of them, I'm on track. Let's just say it that way. I know Martin Truex Jr. had a quiet Sunday. He did come back home in one piece for a change, or at least that. But easy. But when it comes to Atlanta, though, he's always up there. But it's Daytona Talladega that he gets swept up in stupid stuff. But yeah, so Blaney's been up running up front, Keselowski especially. So I'm on target here. It's going to go down sooner or later for this team. So very unfortunate there. But you know, Joey Logano is a pest when coming to these speedway racetracks, right? You know he's going to be in the middle of the action, trying to make something happen. And there he was. You knew two things are going to happen. Either he's going to make some contact for a win, or he's going to wait till the last lap and get it done. And Joey Logano made things happen right there, and he got the win at Atlanta. So after an abysmal race 2 weeks ago, what was it, Vegas? Yeah, Vegas, he was nowhere to be found, and I can't remember exactly. I think Phoenix was a quiet two for Joey Logano. He didn't do anything there either. So this was kind of a welcome back kind of sighting for Penske Racing. Not only that, but Penske Racing swept the first three starting spots prior to that race as well. So you know that Ford's going to have the speed to be up front, lead a lot of laps, things like that. But at the end of the day, the defending champion, two-time NASCAR Cup Series champion, Joey Logano, put the pieces by Brad Keselowski and pretty much went there and took a win away from Keselowski. So there you go on that. I'll go down to the finishing order in a little bit, but I want to get to this. And oh, by the way, real quick, before I do, get to the biggest story of the weekend. Yes, Christian Eckes, congratulations to him, getting his first win for McNally Racing on Saturday. What was a doubleheader with the trucks in the Xfinity Series in Atlanta. So he got his first win. Christian Eckes in that 19 for McNally Racing. Huge for him to get that. So again, we'll go back through all and get the top 10 later. But I want to get to this right here real quick. I want to touch on this mainly here on this episode, right, which is the Atlanta Reaction edition of the podcast. Josh Williams, my man, doing some bold things out there in the racetrack. Out there on the racetrack. Josh Williams, and I'll get to the kicker here in a second, but he got involved in one of the wrecks. Of course, he's the Xfinity driver. He's full-time in the Xfinity Series, I believe. I know he's in the Xfinity Series, but I believe he's full-time. If I'm not mistaken, I might be wrong. I know I did a driver show earlier as well. So he was in a wreck early during the Pit Boss 250. Wait a second. That's the Xfinity Series races this week. So going back to Atlanta. Atlanta. We're talking about Atlanta currently. During the Xfinity Series race in Atlanta last week, right? He was wrecked. He was involved in a couple of wrecks there as well. So NASCAR apparently, right? Let's set the stage. So he was out there. His car was damaged from one of the earlier wrecks, right? And apparently, from what I heard and read, he did not meet minimal speed or whatever case there was. So NASCAR told Josh Williams to park the car in the garage, right? And next thing, yeah, because he was involved in an early wreck and whatnot, and NASCAR, I guess, wasn't happy with whatever he was driving. He was driving too slow or whatever the difference is. The matter is, though, NASCAR gave Josh Williams, right, a direct order. What happened? The opposite. Josh Williams defied the order, ignored it, stayed on the racetrack right there. And then the funniest thing happened this season, 2023. Josh Williams, you guys heard the reference Park It, right? That's coming from the late Brian Clausen. He passed away a couple years ago. That came from him. So Ricky Stenhouse Jr. did it. William Byron has done that. And you see this nowadays more common with post-race celebrations, right? So Park It, right? So next thing, what happens? I can't remember what lap because I went back and saw this because I missed out on this. So go back. Josh Williams. After that, NASCAR black flagged him. So after that, What did Josh Williams do? Parked it. Guess where he parked that thing? Right at the front stretch. Right on top of the starfish line, baby. Right there. Parked it. Took off his helmet. Unstrapped himself. Took off his helmet. Said, deuces. said, hello. Bye-bye to NASCAR. And walked to his pit box. Unbelievable. Man. So, not only he pretty much dared himself and achieved it. Wow. What a wild sequence that was there. And yeah, Josh Williams, apparently, when I was looking, watching, he didn't look too happy about the order. So NASCAR, for all that, saying that now we got the, as I'm saying, recording this podcast, we got the result of his actions. Josh Williams, we're talking about here in the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3, that Josh Williams will not be racing at COTA. He is suspended for a race. Very surprised that he's not suspended for more than what he did there. But Josh Williams probably better be thanking his folks, because that could have been a lot more than just one. But it's NASCAR's being very consistent. Obviously, you go back to Bubba Wallace last year in this incident there, being suspended for one race there before he was allowed to come back to the track. Obviously, Bubba Wallace and Kyle Larson melee last year in the playoff race at Las Vegas last fall. So you fast forward to late March, and Josh Williams defies NASCAR, says bleep it, and parks the thing, parks his 92 Chevy right in the front, right smack in the middle of the racetrack, right there at the start-finish line. I have never seen anything like this, never, in my long living self watching NASCAR. Never seen it, unless it's a celebration. Never seen it happen on actual racing during the race. Caution came out. And Josh Williams obviously did not race again, so, woo! And there is also a word here, also, saying that he didn't want to pay a fine or whatnot, and there was a lot of traffic on Twitter when this went down. Denny Hamlin being one of those guys, a lot of traffic. Everybody was happy, seemed like, about this move right here. So, wow. Incredible kind of what is the word I want? Incredible set of circumstances right there for Josh Williams. Not only he was not happy with NASCAR, NASCAR didn't see something right. I'm assuming it was, again, I didn't watch the whole Xfinity race because of March Madness, right? So I was checking in and out and saw the highlights here and there, and I did see playback the Josh Williams incident a couple times right there. So, man, crazy stuff there. And yeah, the law was handed down to Mr. Josh Williams, suspended one race for his actions there as well. Let's see, there's nothing on fine-wise there for him as well. So, interesting to see what happens there. Well, actually, with the results already in, so Josh Williams, there's already a lot, multiple requests and everything else. But everyone's coming to his aid. I know there was a shirt being made out, so for that, so definitely Josh Williams, his stock definitely has risen. It wasn't down in the low totem pole. It has skyrocketed to the New York Empire State Building. That type of skyrocketed there as well. Wow. So one little incident turns into this whole big deal here. Which, for Josh Williams, it was a big deal. So, he pretty much told NASCAR, hey, felt, park that thing, see ya, deuces, I'm out of here. And NASCAR said, we're going to suspend your race there for doing that. So, all that stirred up, backing up, all the way up, saying NASCAR told Josh Williams to drive that car into the garage after pretty much was telling me not meeting minimal speed. And Josh Williams said, bleep it, I'm not going to do that. So, wow. That's probably the most exciting thing that happened this weekend. Well, other than the fact that, you know, RFK is really closing in on an elusive victory here in 2023. This is the 3-Wide Pod with EG3. As I am actually going to go, well, I have it up here. A lot of heavy names here as we are going to COTA after a triple header weekend in Atlanta. more triple header action down south. Fort Worth, Texas. Circuit of Americas goes down this week. And look what the Cup Series has, folks. Mammoth drivers. Obviously, no Chase Elliott. And we know Chase Elliott's solid on these road courses. He obviously has to miss due to his injury. And I already ran on that avenue on that. So you missed out on that. Go check that out wherever you get your podcast. That's an episode we did a couple weeks ago. So check that out as well. Jordan Taylor will be the guy called up in that nine this weekend. And obviously, Henrik Motorsports, you know they're going to have full backing of that car. So I would not be surprised. I might even make a little bit of wager on that. But Jordan Taylor, I would not be surprised. I see him. No, this is going to be his first time in a next-gen car, so it might take him a while. But after that, I think he might be competitive. And given Henrik Motorsports has good engines and all that, we'll be sure to write off that nine this week. Jensen Button. I mentioned him on the podcast last week. Rick Rare Racing. We're going to be seeing him a couple of times, obviously. This is very exciting for NASCAR, not only for the regulars, but for F1 folk who love F1. Who've dipped their toes in this sport for a while, NASCAR here and there, and you're getting some superstar action here this weekend. Justin Button in the 15 for Rick Rare Racing. Connor Daly returns to Money Mayweather Racing there after they made the 500 early this year. That's the number 50 of Connor Daly. Josh Blicky, who's pretty regular at these things, is in the 78. And, nope, there's two more. Jimmy Johnson back. He's going to try to get a crack at this thing called road course racing at Texas COTA. So Jimmy Johnson is going to be in the field here. Again, he's going to have to qualify to get in. And Kimi Raikkonen in the number 91 there as well. So lots going on. That's some star firepower, folks, when looking at that roster as well. And, did I say no stage breaks? Hell no. No stage breaks whatsoever. Hell yeah. I could dig that. I've been pleading on this very same podcast the last couple years that get rid of the stage racing. Everybody knows what you're going to do, especially you need playoff points late in the year. Everybody knows what you're going to do. It just got too boring. I'll be back next week and I'll give you the synopsis on did that feel better or it's the same results as having the stage breaks. But look, I'm all for strategy here. How the race plays out, how different crew chiefs use different strategies, right? So that's what has me, before all the stage break racing started, had me intrigued in these road courses. But yes, I mean, F1, there's a lot of action in F1 right now, a lot of momentum right now. So there's that, but NASCAR, I mean, finally get rid of the stage racing, at least on road courses. That's what they did a couple weeks before the Daytona 500 rolled around earlier this year. But yeah, that's what you're looking at. A little bit reminder for you folks in this podcast, no stage breaks. So now this is going to be, get your popcorn, buy yourself some popcorn. This is going to be fascinating to watch, at least for me anyways. Now you'll have the dreaded stage break where everybody's going to either pit, and really most teams, you kind of know their strategy: stay out, get the points, and then go back in. It's just too boring, too predictable in my opinion on that. But yeah, so a lot of eyes going to be on this race, specifically on that, and I'm interested to see what the crowd is down there in Texas. I know first year was crowded, but weather played major factor in that race there, but still the fans showed up. Now the year two, it was kind of like half full to a summer screen. Now we're in year three of this racetrack, so now you have these high caliber names like a Jordan Taylor, like a Jason Button, like a Connor Daly. I know I'm missing one, but just that Kimi Raikkonen. Yep. Those cats know how to get done on road courses, and you've seen it prior to the new era of NASCAR, right? Where you had somewhere in the middle 2000s, where you had Pacific road course races specifically for the road courses. So now it's back. So we'll see what happens there. Obviously, Jensen Button's going to be running Chicago this summer as well. The inaugural Chicago race, street race in Chicago, Illinois as well. So a lot to look forward to on that page here. Let me see if I can get that in that. Yeah, so looking forward to it, man. It's going to be interesting to see how it all unfolds for not only these guys are coming in just only racing for this weekend, but down the stretch as well. Let's take a look here at the Ambetter Health 400. This is the three wide pod once again with EG3 here. Already mentioned Joey Logano, right, winning the race. Brad Keselowski second, third place finisher from Joe Gibbs Racing, Christopher Bell, starting to make some noise. And then this guy, I could have bet some money with this guy, with this cat. Corey LaJoy finished fourth. And he got a stage, and he got some, wait, no, hold on. Yeah, he got stage points, got a point for 10th in stage two. But Corey LaJoy really stepping up his game this year. And I believe we're going back to Atlanta in the fall, I believe. So I'm going to do that next time because I definitely thought about pulling some money on Corey LaJoy, but I didn't do it. So, but yes, nice to see that's be Corey finally trying to back it up, his talk there about running up front. But it seems to me that he's stuck with this team, and this team has really stepped up, Spire Motorsports, in that race team. But Tyler Reddick finished in the top five. He finished fifth. Then Denny Hamlin, Ryan Blaney, Eric Jones with an eighth place finishing position. Ty Gibbs finishing ninth, and Kyle Busch has the golden 10th ticket there. I believe that's for one more swag, I believe. I'm not 100% sure there. But anyways, that's your top 10 from the Ambetter 400. Let's get the numbers out here. Time of the race, 2 hours and 53 minutes. Joey Logano winning stage one. That's another playoff point for him. And how about this? Austin Cindric getting a playoff point. He won stage two. Their lead changes 20 times among 13 drivers. Caution flags 5 for 34 there as well. So there you have it on that, folks. On the Cup side again, COTA this weekend. And remember, we were there last time. That thrilling finish between Ross Chastain, AJ Allmendinger, and Alex Bowman in that mix there for the final waiting laps. We all know what happened there. Which turned out to be AJ Allmendinger wasn't too thrilled with that move there as well. So it's going to be really fascinating to see how the strategies play out when we get started here in a little bit. I'm thinking about basketball right now. I'm thinking about basketball right now. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Fascinating. Ross Chastain, your defending winner from last year there, holding off Alex Bowman. And he and Allmendinger got together and whatnot in the final lap. So, and I think somebody was not too happy about that either. So, a lot to look forward to this weekend. A lot of strategies could play out. And I wonder if they're going to hand out stage points during the cycle. Or I don't know what's going to go with that. I don't know what they're going to go to on that. But yeah, definitely COTA Friday. No, Friday, not Friday. On Sunday, folks, coming up on the Cup Series. We're going to step aside real quick for a short intermission here on the 3-Wide NASCAR Pilots EG3. Come back. We'll take a look at the rest of the trucks and Xfinity results there from what was kind of a tame weekend until Josh Williams decided to spice things up and did what he did in the front stretch as well. But come on back, folks. Come on back. Butchering it. You're listening to the 3-Wide Pod with EG3. We'll be back in a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 3-Wide Podcast with EG3, episode 344 of this podcast. All things NASCAR and miscellaneous items here on this show as well. Getting right on into it here. I am short for time, so getting back in it right here, right now on this podcast. We'll go right to the... I was going to say something. Yes, that's right. I was going to say something. I better get out right now before I forget completely. So I've been saying... we've had a couple of special guests here on this podcast. If you have not checked out the Isabella Robusto conversation or Phil Spain conversation as well. Please go back. Let's give those a listen. Please. Those are some good conversations there. Isabella, obviously, she's been on the pod multiple times. And Phil Spain, that was a very good interview with him, conversation with my man Phil over there. So definitely make sure you subscribe to this podcast again first and go check those episodes out as well. And I've been saying for a couple weeks now, looking forward for our next special guest. Keep pulling it back. Keep putting it back. Keep pulling it back. And now, you know what? I'm just, now that we have our we're going to do it Friday this time on the road. I'll be on the road, but I'll be in Liberty, Missouri, getting ready for half marathon, first of three. I'm in a challenge here, folks. More on that on a later episode. But yeah, so I'll be on the road again, and this time the recording will go down on Friday night, and it'll be posted on Sunday night. So be on the lookout for that. That will be most likely be 345. So definitely we figured out. So it's either me or my special guest having to reschedule stuff. So apologize. I'm gonna keep leading you on. Where's the next special guest episode at, Eddie? Where's it at? Well, for one, it hasn't been recorded yet because schedules don't line. I haven't been lining up exactly now that they are. You know what? Might as well just do it on the road like we've been doing so far. So we're going back on the road for our next special guest. And I'll leave this as a little teaser. It's going to be the first time that this guest is on this podcast. So I'll leave it at that. So first time, another first timer on the 3Y Pod with EG3. Back on the racetrack here quickly. Here with the FR8 Auctions 208, which went to Christian Eckes there. I mentioned that in the first half of the podcast here. I'm sold on this dude. I'm not talking about Eckes. I'm talking about my guy, Nick Sanchez. He started 20th in this, and he ended up finishing in a second position. Even, of course, he got himself a playoff point there as well. Very impressive. By Nick Sanchez. Nick Sanchez, he out there. He's out there getting it. You know what I'm saying? So this is huge for Nick Sanchez. I think the way if he continues to be on this little ride here, he's gonna be tough. He's gonna be tough, really tough here as well. And you're wondering where Ross Carew finished at in Atlanta. He finished 25th in this race as well. No stage points for him as well. Looked like he was up there for a little bit, but obviously you got the stripe. Veterans in the series definitely know that, but Ross Carew did finish in a 25th position there for GMS. The rest of the line, the rest of the top 10 looked like this. John Nemechek made his appearance in the truck series last weekend. He finished third. Bailey Curry, damn! How about this name? Bailey Curry, so the Corley Joy of the Xfinity Series, right? Fourth for Curry. Great job by Bailey Curry. Wow. Ben Rhodes, your top five. Matt DiBenedetto gets another top 10. So Matty D needed a good start to the season. You did not need what you did last year. When I know it was the first year. I expected more last year than I did this year for him. But it just goes to show you set your expectations wherever you may please, right? But wow. So Matty D, another top 10 for him there. I'll have the standings here hopefully in just a second here. Chase Purdy, Timmy Hill finished 8th. Matt Crafton and Jack Wood in the 17 for GMS finished in the top 10 there. Caution flags 11 times for 58 laps. That's a long race for you. If you want to say, why does it take so long? Well, look at the cautions. 11 of them last week. Part of a day doubleheader for the trucks was on first on last Saturday. And then you had the Xfinity Series, right? So, Eckes won stage one. Matt Crafton winning stage two. You know who won the races right there as well. So, now looking, I'll just get that later then. Looking at the Xfinity Series now, switching gears over. We're going to go to the low side, high and dry. Not high and dry. It's going to be low, wet, and dry there as well. As now it's not going to let me do anything. Let's see. Come on, slow computer. All right. So now we're back to where we were originally scheduled here, folks. Let's see. The Rapper King of Tough 250 for the Xfinity Series. That cap off a doubleheader. And guess who won it? Take a wild guess who won that. You gotta guess over here. No, no, you gotta guess over here. No, you gotta guess. You gotta guess over here. What is it? Wow, really, computer? Really, say it again? Yes, exactly. Yeah, so Austin Hill, another victory in the Xfinity Series. That gives him 3 for 2023. He won Daytona earlier this year in the semifinal. Not semifinal. I'm thinking about basketball again. It's been a long day. Apologize for that. Let's see. Austin Hill won in Fontana, right? No, he did not win Fontana. It was... Crap. It was somewhere. I thought it was... Yep, it's Vegas. Yeah, okay, there it is. So you won that Vegas, and now you win in your home state. And a lot of attention to Chase Elliott, and rightfully so. But when it comes to home cooking, now that's the one I want to do. What is going on? When it comes to home cooking, yeah, you throw another driver in this mix. That's the mix. That's what I'm talking about of Austin Hill. 3 wins. We're not done yet. 3 wins. We're not even a 1/4 into the season. And Austin Hill, you already got 3 wins in the bank. You're starting to really pack up those playoff points. Really pack those up really good. Things like that. You know Austin Hill was going to be contender there. I was wanting to go there, but I did not want to waste him for a future fantasy pick there. But Austin Hill, dominant. 103 laps. Woo! 103 laps en route to the win there, but he had to hold off Daniel Hemric. So I talked about Matty D. I talked about Matty D earlier, just a little bit ago. Same category for Daniel Hemric. He needed a good start, and he got it. Great start for him. This is his, what, third or fourth top 10 finish here already in 2023 as well. So, yeah. Absolutely. Daniel Hemric, he needed this as well. Let's look at the rest of the top 10 finishers here. Ryan Truex finished in third. This is back-to-back top 5 finishes for Ryan here. So again, he's in a limited race duty for the 19 of Joe Gibbs Racing. Of course, that's where his older brother's at, and Martin Truex Jr. But Ryan Truex right now showing that he wants a little bit more, some more races. So happy for Ryan there to get himself another top 5 finish there. It comes in Atlanta Speedway there as well. All right, so there's that. My man, Parker Kligerman, 4th. He thought he had something there late for Austin Hill. That did not come in fruition for him. Excuse me. That didn't come fruition for him as Kligerman in at 48. I'm gonna put a little something on Kligerman this weekend. I'm a bunch of Kligerman this weekend at Coda. Remember, he was in the trucks. I'm not sure. I don't think he's in the injury list for the trucks. I don't think so. I looked at it this morning, and I didn't see his name in the trucks at least. But full-time Xfinity. Got a fourth for him. He thought he had a little more in the tank. He thought he was going to get a win. But strategy played out, and it was not the wrong move for him for that team. So now you look at it, 4th for him, and I look for him to be a player this weekend in Coda. Riley Hurst, Mr. Top 10, I'm going to call you that. Herbst, another top 5 run, finishing the 5th spot. Brett Moffitt, 6th. Josh Berry, 7th. John Nemechek finished 8th. Sam Mayer, 9th. And Justin Haley there, coming off the penalty in the Cup Series. Oh, we go finishing in the 10th position there. For colleague making that run there, which I believe is a new I read the announcement earlier, and now I can't think of the driver who's going to be in that car, but damn it. Anyways, this race, 2 hours and 44 minutes. Austin Hill winning stage 1, Parker Kligerman winning stage 2. So Kligerman's been really competitive in that 48. That's no surprise really to me that this guy's got not only a second chance, but a third opportunity to make his name known. Of course, he won at Mid-Ohio in the trucks last year, so I'm really bullish on his chances this year on the road course there as well. 12 caution flags for 68 laps there and 13 lead changes among 8 drivers as well. Of course, Circuit of Americas this weekend for all series as well here. Let's see if I can pull the standings where I wanted to. Let's see here. Driver points here. Yay! There we go. So, it's been a while. This is the first time that we've looked at the driver situation standing-wise for the Xfinity Series. Austin Hill, your points leader by 46 over Johnny Nemechek. Riley Herbst is third. Chandler Smith and Justin Allgaier. That is your top five right there for the Xfinity Series. Let's see. In that case. All right, so backing up to the Craftsman Truck Series after the race at Atlanta, right? You are 3 races down in the regular season. Getting ready for the XPEL 225 this weekend. Let's break those out. Driver points, right? Christian Eckes is your points leader there. Only by 5 over Matt Crafton, Ty Majeski, 3rd, Ben Rhodes, 4th, and Zane Smith. You're defending, reigning Craftsman Truck Series champ right there in the 5th spot there as well, heading Dakota this weekend. Oh, by the way, Zane Smith, yeah, after getting by Kyle Busch, after Kyle Busch had that mishap last year, Zane Smith made the field pay thereby winning that race there as well, which I was believe, not mistaken, it was his first win of the year last year as well. So Zane Smith already has a win in his pocket from Daytona. All right, so Echo Park Automotive Texas Grand Prix for the Cup Series on Sunday, March 26th. Now have their standings pulled up here. After all the penalties were laid out, all the deductions laid out, we have Joey Logano. Joey Logano, your new points leader. It was Kevin Harvick, but your new points leader, the reigning series champion, Joey Logano, by 1. Oversee Bell, Ross Chastain drops to 3rd. Blaney is 4th. Brad Keselowski now is the 5th newest 5th place person there as well. That is your top 5. Let's just finish it off with the top 10 here with Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Denny Hamlin, and Daniel Suarez up by 3 in the top 10 position as well. Now, I just got a little something here before I transition to kind of end it with some March Madness here on this podcast. You're in the 3-Wide Pie with EG3, Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas, where I usually record this podcast. This is where I live currently, Manhattan, Kansas, in the middle, or just about, in the United States as well. I think they should go back, and this is my opinion only, I think they should go back 16 drivers for the playoffs. Sorry, I'm going off of a left turn here a little bit, but excuse me. But I think 16 is too many. I think a lot more fans will tune in if the playoff picture of drivers shrink. You know, when the Nextel Cup, chase for the Nextel Cup was going down, you had to chase for the going in for the cup, right? That 10th position, there's always something going on in that 10th position, right? I think 16 drivers, I'm sorry, I'm getting car off the horse here, but I think it's just too many. Too many. And yes, another fact that I don't think we're going to have, I said this earlier this year in the pod, I don't think we're going to have that many winners. We had, 17, 18 different winners last year. And so far, Byron, Stenhouse, who else? Joey Logano, I'm being somebody in here. I know it. We and Byron won 2, right? Yeah, that takes care of that one. 2-3 of the West Coast swing. He won that one. Kyle Busch. Okay, Kyle Busch. So Kyle Busch got him. Kyle Busch, Stenhouse, Byron, the only. Oh, by the way, speaking of William Byron, he's the only multi winner right now in the series. I know it's early. Sorry about that. And now your recent winner, Joey Logano. That's 4 in the first, 5-6 races of the year. Woo! And we could very well get a different winner here at COTA. Look, with all the strategy play, whatnot, take gas only, what about a fuel game, whatnot. I'm actually looking forward to this, man. COTA, it's going to be really fascinating with the strategy games. See what the crew chief decides to do there. So sorry to go off on that little tangent there. But yeah, I think it'd be more compelling, more eyes drawn to sport if you draw, shrink the playoff field. I know a lot of people will say 12, but I think 12 is too many. I think you drive it to 10 the points. Even just take the whole winning your end situation out and focus in on the top 10. Consistency. Man, I did not say that all three times very well. But you get the point. So I think, you're going to have your winners, but I think it'd be more compelling in this day and age, in this day in NASCAR, right? That, we're fighting for our lives here. We have to race the front. These guys are already racing tents anyway because stage points are on the line, right? So it wouldn't be much different. But the only difference is you got to get yourself in the top 10 in points, in the overall top 10. We're not sitting here, let's win Daytona and call it quits. Uh-uh. You want to be consistent for the entire your resume, as you will, NCAA terms, your resume, your body of work being rewarded in being part of the top, getting us with top 10 spots. That's how I feel about it. But I could go on and on about that, but I digress anyway. So. But yes, congratulations here. And I'm going to go ahead and get my three EG3 stickers out before I leave that off the table here. We got a few moments here on this podcast here before we sign off. Here, Eddie Greer, once again, for the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. Bailey Curry, EG3 helmet sticker of the week right here. He gets one of them. Another one. Corey LaJoy, EG3 helmet sticker as well here. I can draw a blank on memory. I'm going to give two in the trucks. The winner, Christian Eckes, you get an EG3 helmet sticker of the week. My man, EG3 alum Nick Sanchez, you also get a three EG3 helmet sticker of the week as well. So four of them this week on the podcast, right? Nick Sanchez, Bailey Curry in the Xfinity Series race, right? Let's see here. Did I give one out? Yeah, Corey LaJoy in the Cup Series, yep. And Christian Eckes. That's your EG3 helmet stickers of the week. So there you go on that. All right, so real quick, East Region. Yeah, I'm going to give, of course, my alma mater a shout-out. A shout-out for getting to the Sweet 16. That is Kansas State. This is where, obviously, basketball is going to take priority first because my driver, yes, he got stage points, but, it's still speedway racing. But he still, at least he finished in the top 20. But I digress on that. Okay, so East Region, K-State, my alma mater, right here in Manhattan, Kansas, right? In the Sweet 16 East Region, by the time this podcast comes out, this is actually going to come out after the Sweet 16 matchup. So hopefully when this comes out, we'll have good news. If not, it's... then the season's over. But K-State will take on Michigan State. And Kansas State is now the highest seed in that region because Purdue got upset by 16. And Marquette lost to Michigan State, K-State's opponent, here tomorrow night as the city recorders on this late Wednesday night as well. So you just have to wonder what's going on right there as well. But K-State, there's been a lot of disrespect. Surprised much there? We've seen this before, moving forward football. And K-State won the Big 12 champion, the title, this year. They didn't win the conference, but they won the championship over TCU in the regular season. But when the rematch came, played a shove there, K-State rises up to the challenge, as Chris Fowler says there, and beat TCU. There to be last year's Big 12 champions, right? This K-State men's basketball team story is continuing to write itself. Now, the public is giving K-State more of this, more of that, everything else like that. But at the very beginning, there was disrespect picking us to be last. And, you would have told me, sit here telling me that K-State here on March 22nd, when you listen to this podcast, it'll be the 23rd tomorrow, March 23rd, you would have told me that, hey, we're playing Michigan State in the Sweet 16, in the national stage. Not only that, you're more national stage because you're playing in New York City where four of your teammates are from that area. One of them didn't even play organized basketball. He has been a monster. Naquan Tomlin, shout out. I'm going to talk about it on my other podcast, the Pro Project Podcast. A very shameless plug, but I'm going to do it anyway because this is my podcast as well. Sorry to talk about K-State, but I have to talk about them because they're still one of 16 teams left remaining to try to get to the ultimate goal, get to a Final Four. I cannot believe I'm sitting here talking about that with all you guys. So I wanted to mention them on this podcast for a very good reason. So, but again, every game's tough. Every game's going to be tough from here on out. Not that I'm saying that Kentucky was, because look, Montana State, that's a tricky game. And to take care of them, right? And you know, everybody's going to give love to Kentucky. Kentucky this, Kentucky that. And guess what K-State did? Kicked them out of the tournament as well. You beat them too. So, and John Calipari, what I wanted to say this then, couldn't do it because I did not remember. I'm going to say it right here, right now. You salty, dog. You an asshole, homie. That's all I got to say for that. You. I know there was a lot of choice words with the other podcasts here in town. They gave John Calipari the business. I'm going to give Calipari the business, too. You're an asshole, dog. You salty as you know what. So, there you go. And he also tried to apologize to Marquise Noel and call him a little kid and whatnot. That little kid, New York City, Marquise Noel, sent y'all home. So, there you go on that. Have fun watching us on the national stage tomorrow. For what it's worth there. Hopefully, we continue to rub it in everybody else as well moving forward. But the story is, I have reference on that podcast, the Pro Project Podcast. Sorry, another shameless plug. Look, Jerome Tang said it, the new head coach of the K-State men's basketball team this year, and it's still his first year because we're still playing, said that enjoy the ride. We're all living in it right now. We're all joyous right now. So I can only imagine right now what this season's going to be like. Oh, man. And the Final Four is in Houston. Houston's still in it. 2-1 seeds are still in it, right? Houston and who's that other team? Alabama. They're still in it. So Houston, that's a storyline of itself there. A future Big 12 opponent in there itself. But, man, I can only dream of what could go down right here in Manhattan, Kansas. If K-State were to accomplish the unthinkable this weekend, start tomorrow night, you can only imagine what happened, you know. There was a scene at the Manhattan airport when they got back from Greensboro, North Carolina, and they were the farthest Big 12 team, right, to travel out of all the Big 12 teams. And they're one of two Big 12 teams left in the NCAA tournament. The other one, for y'all don't have been keeping up, Texas. So that's what's worth right there. So, but man, there's a lot of excitement around that. So, but if K-State were to win tomorrow night, they would play that Elite Eight game on Saturday. So I will watch the race on Sunday. So I'll be watching that. But yeah, definitely basketball right now takes priority. So I wanted to get that in. I want to shout out my alma mater, K-State. We're getting to the Sweet 16 while I have an opportunity to do that. So it might be for a while to do it. But, man, crazy things have happened in sports this year with our two main sports, the fastball, which is football, which is our main sport, and the curveball, which is men's basketball, which is right now giving everybody a hard time right now in a good way. And the public, at least, is starting to respect our name. But, hey, we're carrying that chip on our shoulder. We want to continue to prove out there. And another blue blood stands in our way. That is the Michigan State Spartans tomorrow night. This podcast will go up right after. So be on the lookout for this podcast as well. So hopefully when this podcast comes out, might have more exciting news. We'll just have to see after 40 minutes of basketball. And I'm really excited for Noel, especially for him. Those two cats in particular. I'm very happy for Naquan Tomlin and Tyke Green. Happy for those folks. Curtis Kelly, who I had on that podcast. Shout out Curtis Kelly here in the 3-wide pile with EG3. But I'm really happy for Marquise Noel and Ishma Shud, because those two guys are from the area of New York. Those two guys are the one that stayed put. Those two guys wanted to be the change. And that is why K-State is two wins away from reaching the ultimate if you want to say championships or whatever, NCAA basketball. So there you go. That's how we're going to end this podcast. The 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3. Find it wherever you get your podcast. Again, we're on Spotify, Apple, you know the drill, and so forth there as well. So I know I went on a little bit of a March Madness rant here in the second half, but that's okay. That's all right, because this is my podcast, EG3. We can talk about NASCAR mainly, but we can also talk about miscellaneous stuff as well. In this case here, March Madness, my guys are still in it. We'll see when we come back on here next week if K-State is in Houston. We'll have to see about it, but it's going to be another tough road to get there. We have two more. Well, I shouldn't say that. We have at least one game more with Michigan State, and then if we get by them, the Big Ten team, it'll be either Florida Atlantic or Tennessee. And Florida Atlantic is another team there that's really good. So we'll just have to see how all what cards on the poker table shake out as well. Finally, man, damn. It's about time you answer my email. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for another edition of the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3, episode 344. Be on the lookout again. I'm going to finally get together with our next special guest for this podcast. That will come out on Sunday night after all the shenanigans gone down from COTA. We'll be back. I'll be back with you then with a full recap of that. And then, of course, be on the lookout for, finally, what you guys been craving for, another special guest interview. So definitely, definitely be on the lookout for that. This podcast will be going up tomorrow, so be on the lookout for that. The checkered flag has waved on another edition of the 3-Wide Podcast. Eddie Greer, a.k.a. EG3. Appreciate y'all again for listening. And make sure, if you love what you're hearing, make sure you tell a fellow NASCAR friend about the podcast. I really appreciate that. And feel free to leave us a rating and a review if you choose. That will definitely help me out get better at for this podcast. Not only that, which has been going on for now for 7 seasons now and into our eighth season here on the pod, and helps reach other racing fans as well that are looking for more variety of racing content. So definitely get that as well. Well, gotta get out of here, folks. We gotta roll out. We're rolling out, folks. This has been another edition, aka EG3, Eddie Greer the 3rd, rolling out through our NASCAR Pilots EG3. Talk to y'all next week.